Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Beru.
It is time for Season 3 of Flames Unfiltered. Flames hockey is back. Good evening, Flames fans. Yeah, good to be back after a short offseason, which actually seemed extremely, extremely long. That happens when you don't make the playoffs. I'm the host of the show, Brad Rude. We're rolling into Season 3 of Flames Unfiltered, and yeah, bigger than ever. We're trying live episodes. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully that goes good. I'm working out some snags doing live with interviews, but we'll get it figured out. And yeah, tonight doing it a little earlier than we normally plan on doing it. 5:30 or 5 o'clock Mountain Time, we are on the air, and usually it'll be at 8 o'clock Mountain Time on Wednesday nights. But when the Flames play, we aren't going to be on. So we're doing this before the Flames play the Seattle Kraken tonight at the Saddle Dome in a preseason battle. So we're getting out ahead of that. So Flames fans can now watch me and watch the team play, because that's what we talk about, right? What else? So a normal show will be Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And we'll see how that goes doing live. And hopefully we get a good response. Excited for year three. It was a long off season. When you don't make the playoffs, that happens. And it was a busy off season. We did some upgrades on Flames Unfiltered. We have a new segment we're going to be doing periodically throughout the week called Flames Unfiltered Shorts. They're going to be 3 minutes to 6 minute short segments on, yeah, what's got me riled up, what's got me happy, quick Flames news, trade talk, everything that has to do with the Calgary Flames. When we do a show once a week, sometimes that's perfect, but sometimes there's stuff that happens in that week that, like, I can't wait a week to talk about. So that's where Flame Shorts is going to come in. You're going to see that on YouTube and on all of the Flames Unfiltered social media outlets. So that's something new we're excited about. Our platform, Inside Edge Hockey News, has now changed to Inside Edge Hockey Media Group, where they host a few hockey podcasts, one called the Debate Hockey Podcast, which has been going for 5 years now. Lots of good stuff. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. That is the home base for Flames Unfiltered. Well, we're preseason's going, and yeah, Sunday night at the Saddle Dome, not the greatest of all things, but I guess, you know, it's still preseason. That's what I keep telling myself. It's like, am I getting ahead of myself here? Am I putting too much into this? But boy, was that a horrendous effort. Disappointing. But you know what? Wasn't it good to see fans back in the Saddle Dome? It's still preseason, so I don't get too bent out of shape. I worry more about what I see from different players. Some I like, some I didn't like. Not a great start, though. And a 4-2 loss the following, night? Yeah, to Vancouver didn't help at all either. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Speaking of the show today, we're going to quickly touch on those preseason games thus far. We'll preview a little bit of tonight's game against Seattle. Not a whole lot to talk about there. Maybe we'll roll through some of the lines and stuff like that. Talk about off-season moves is what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about all the guys that we brought in this year that are going to be new on the Flames, and where I see them fitting, and my projections on how the year will go for all of the new Flames that we're getting to learn a little bit about on, during the preseason. Then we'll go on into questions. This is a year of question marks in Calgary, in my mind. There's three big ones that I think stand out more than any other, and we're going to talk about those three questions, answer them, and kind of break down what we think is going to happen with those three factors that are going to determine whether the Flames have a good year, a mediocre year, or another year where we're out of the mix. And I sure hope that doesn't happen. Then we'll roll on into some Flames news, talk about the Pacific Division, wrap with a Facebook poll we did, where we got probably, honestly, it's crazy. We've been off for probably, way too long during the offseason. And then I do a Facebook poll, and I get more response than I have of any of them that we've had in all the two previous years we've been doing this show. So that's great. And the question we're going to talk about is, with Giordano now moved on to the Seattle Kraken, you know, who should be the Flames' captain? It's an interesting question, and one that will be really interesting to see how it all pans out. And we're going to dig into that in the Facebook question. Thanks for joining us here on episode 99. Yeah, 99 episodes, the start of season 3 of the show. Thanks for joining us. All right, Flames fans, let's dig into these preseason games so far. Two have been played. One drops the puck in, 2 hours from now? Yeah. At the Saddle Dome tonight. Everybody get out there. Late crowd on Sunday night. Good to be back in the Saddle Dome. Had some friends there that night. And, hopefully the crowd is a little better tonight, a little bit louder. Hopefully we give them something to cheer for, right? Yeah, 0 goals last time. That's not a lot to cheer for. Let's talk about that. Sunday night, the 26th, Edmonton comes to Calgary. Calgary drops it 4-0. I thought Calgary's first 2 or 3 shifts were really, really strong. I did. I was pretty damn happy with them. And then things went haywire, and it kind of spiraled out of control, and I just saw just bad penalty after bad penalty, and then just lack of, discipline's not the word I'm looking for, but more, I don't know if it really was even effort. It was just like, we were just like freaking slow. I thought we were just slow. So just really slow. Ended up getting outshot 49-15, 4-0. The bad guys win, the dreaded Oilers, with a lineup that was disastrous. I mean, young lineup for Edmonton. And they showed me a little bit about, you know, maybe their prospect future is brighter than ours. And people are going to freak on me for saying that, but I've been a critique of our, I'm not a huge fan of our prospect pool right now. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but, we're going to dive into that in a couple shows from now once the season gets going. Good positive points that night. Vladar, our goalie, Daniel Vladar. How many times are we going to say Darth Vader this year? I know I'm not a big Star Wars geek, but, Daniel Vladar was great in net. The double back of the leg stack, whatever the hell you want to call that, was flat out amazing. But man, he was impressive. Really, really, really impressive. I also liked Tyler Pitlick before he got injured. Now, the sample size was very, very brief. I will admit that. But what I saw, I liked his jump. I liked his play, actually. Some people are going to freak at me for saying this. I thought Zadorov was good. He's doing exactly what we brought him in here for. He had big hits right away. He's strong on the blue line. He does everything that we asked back there. He's not going to be an offensive threat. We don't expect him to be. God, if we're going to depend on him to be our offensive guy, we're in big trouble, right? So I don't know. I thought he was fine. I thought he was fine. I don't know. Who else did I like? Who did I not like? I didn't like Lucic again. And I'm not trying to pick on Lucic. I was the first to tell you I was wrong a little bit last year, and I praised him a little bit when he was better towards the latter part of the season. But it seemed like Sutter kept throwing him out there and throwing him out there. And this guy is slow. I know he's on our team. God, I wish Seattle would have taken him. They didn't. We move on. That's the way it goes. But we have got to figure out a way to manage that better, manage that ice time. It was crazy. I mean, it seemed like he was out there all the time. I need to figure out a way to manage that a little bit better. Eric Gabranson, freaking train wreck. And I defended this guy. When Sutter signed him, I was like, oh, no, give this guy a break. And I'm not overreacting here. This is one preseason game. So, yeah, I know. I gotta tone down on the Gudbranson problems. But seriously, though, like, what are we going to do? Like, is he going to be able to stick? We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but he was another guy I didn't like. Now, Monday night, the 27th, the night later, Calgary in Vancouver, we played in Abbotsford. I didn't think it was a great effort. It was better. It was much, much better. 4-2 loss, outshot 30-28. I thought we controlled a lot of the play in the second period. A few other guys get into the lineup where we got a little bit more consistent lineup. Vladar and Net again was just rock solid. And you know, we're getting a lot of criticism on, you know, do we have a backup goalie for Jacob Markstrom this year? With 14 back-to-backs, we're going to have a strong backup goalie. I think we got it. And people are like, well, he's not proven. He's the right price tag. He's exactly what we needed price-wise. And I think he's going to do fine. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this year. And I think he's going to win a lot of games for this team. I will willing to go on record right now that he wins 50% of his games. Hope I'm not wrong on that one. Who else did I like on Monday night? I like Michael Stone. And a lot of you guys I know are now Michael Stone fans. And I've always been a proponent of him. I'm glad we re-signed him again. He is stability. He is the rock. He is a good guy to have re-signed on this team. We need that for a 5-6 defenseman or a fill-in seventh guy. We need that. And Michael Stone brings that. You know what you're going to get every single night from him. And I will go to bat on anybody. He's got the hardest shot on this team. He got a goal the other night. Dylan Dubé looked really good. Sutter had him in at center, said in his press conference he needed to prepare Dubé for that because Dubé is going to be playing center when needed this year in certain situations. He wants every player, or not every player, but the key players to have that experience playing center and wings. And Dylan Dubé did not disappoint. I thought he was the best Flame. Had a real nice goal in the slot. I thought he looked really, really good, and I expect a big year from him. Dislikes. Oliver Shillington did not impress me, and I'm not an anti-Oliver Shillington. I can't believe he re-signed here. That shows you what the rest of the league thinks, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Flames fans? That shows you. This guy's been kicked to the curb I don't know how many times here, and he keeps coming back. I didn't think he was bad, but I still question. He has one or two decisions every single game that leave me shaking my head. And Sutter talked about it earlier this year in one of the pressers right before camp. And he hopes he can work that out of his game. And if anybody's going to do it, Daryl Sutter will be able to do that. I don't know. We'll find out this year. I said the same damn thing last year. Rewind 40 episodes. I said the same thing. We'll find out exactly what happens with Oliver Shillington's future. I said it a year ago today, and I'm saying it again. And I don't know. You know, can he forever be the seventh, eighth guy, sixth guy once in a while? Like, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this year, this is the year he shocks us. I thought Michael Backlund struggled a little bit. I think he was horrendous. It just looked like I don't want to say struggling. Just not at his normal Michael Backlund form that we're used to, right? That's a fair assessment. Tonight, we hit the ice in 2 hours at the Saddle Dome as the Seattle Kraken come in. The biggest news out of that is it looks like Flames former captain Mark Giordano will take to the ice tonight, which I think is bogus that Seattle would do that. Why would you not wait and have him play the regular season game? Unless Giordano came to him and said, like, listen, let me get this out of my system. This is going to be hard. Let me get this out of my system. And he maybe did that. And you know what? I respect the hell out of that. So, okay, you know, I respect that. So, where was I going with that? Oh, lineup. Jeez, I'm losing my mind tonight. The lineup tonight. And it's more of an NHL lineup. Tkachuk, Lindholm, Coleman starting, Gaudreau, Backlund, Mangiapane, Lucic, Godin, Lewis, Kirkland, Fraze, Dewar, On the back end, Zadorov, Anderson, Shillington, Tanev, Valimaki, Stone. Vladar gets the start again tonight. And, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what this Kraken team is like. They got completely dismantled last night in Edmonton. 6-0, I believe, was the final score there. I didn't stay and watch that whole game. But, yeah, it was a kicking. It was a kicking, wasn't it? Anyways, let's roll on in and let's talk about some of these new players, the key acquisitions we got over the summer. All right. Which ones did we get? We didn't get who we thought we were going to get. God, I sound like old football coach in the commercial. Remember that? Anyways, I kind of thought a bigger move would be made. Now, yes, we got Blake Coleman, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I thought a bigger move was going to be made. I thought some decisions were going to have to be made with Gaudreau and Tkachuk. And they weren't. I don't know where that leaves us. But here's the guys we did get. Goaltender Daniel Vladar. Got him from Boston. He signed. Actually, he didn't sign. We traded a third-round 2022 pick to the Boston Bruins for him. And let's look a little bit at the story on this. Hasn't played a ton of hockey in his career. But Jordan Singelot, the Flames goalie coach, was really, really big on this guy. Has played 5 NHL games, .886 save percentage. But this guy was a stud in Providence last year, .923 save percentage. Only played 10 games, but it's kind of a screwy year in the American Hockey League last year. I like what we've seen in preseason. I think that he fits in as a backup for Markstrom because I think Markstrom's going to carry 80% of the load. I know people say 14 back-to-backs. Who knows what's going to happen there? But I think he'll, that Markstrom will play some of those back-to-backs. So I think there's going to be 10 of them that we're going to need covering, and I think Vladar will do just fine on that. Good fit. Like what I see so far. Nikita Zadorov. Now, he comes over from the Chicago Blackhawks for a third-round pick and in 2022. And I know a lot of people initially were like, wait a minute, we got a guy that takes penalties on every shift, not a great skater, but this guy's a big body. Now, let's rewind, Flames fans. Let's think about something. And this was the first thing that came to mind. I remember back to the Colorado dismantling in the playoffs 2 years ago, 3 years ago. God, everything's so screwed up now with 3 years ago. And I remember after we lost game 5 thinking, who do I hate the most on this team? How many times did I see Zadorov running people in the corner? Just creating hell in front of the net, making it hard to play down low, making it hard on our wingers along the boards. And I hated that guy, man. I hated him. And now he's on our team. Now, is he the greatest skater? No. Is he an offensive threat? Hell no. Is he going to be effective for us? Oh, I think so. I'm back and forth on where I think he should be playing. We'll get into that next show, but I like what he brings. Now, last year, he had 8 points in 55 games, 36 penalty minutes for Chicago in a top 4 role. And funny, because he let the media know that, because the media called him out and basically said, is he ready for a top 4 position? And he says, well, do you guys not watch hockey? I played top 4 with Chicago last year. It was funny. I thought it was good. He had 4 seasons with Colorado, between 10 and 20 points a year. But this guy is a pain in the ass to play against. Complete pain in the ass. And I think he's going to be a good fit. If he's a 4-5 guy, I think that's where he fits. But he's going to be physical, and he's going to help this team, I think. Eric Gabranson, defenseman, signed as a free agent. And I had people text me immediately when the signing happened and say, what is your team doing? I thought to myself, the reason there is this signing is it's more size, it's more meanness, it's more strength, and it's more depth. And can you ever, ever have enough depth on the back end? I don't think you can. And I think that's why this signing happened. is because we need that depth. Is he going to be in the lineup every night? I don't think so, but I know Daryl Sutter's style, and Eric Gabranson's going to be a part of this. He's going to be a part of this. Now, he played 9 games in Nashville last year, 36 in Ottawa the year before, 44 in Anaheim the year before that. He's in Pittsburgh before that, and then, you know, he had his fairly decent run, I thought, in Vancouver. This is a guy that he's going to have to know his role and not overextend himself. He's going to have to be a off-the-glass-and-out guy and just be a physical presence. And then he will play and will be successful. Another veteran that Daryl Sutter brought in was Brad Richardson. And he comes in, he was also in Nashville last year for 17 games, Arizona for 5 years prior to that. Never a guy that I thought was like a game changer at all. This is, he's currently in initial depth charts I've seen pegged in as a fourth line center. Again, a depth forward. I know Sutter, he said it the other day. He said the, you know, centers are the lifeblood of your organization and you can't ever have too many centers. And probably the reason Brad Richardson is in Calgary. Now, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, and this is going to be great, because usually when I make predictions like this, shit goes bad and I'm wrong. So I think this guy is going to have a hell of a tough year. I don't know if the game has passed him by. We'll see. Maybe I'm awful at predictions, so maybe maybe this will go perfectly for Flames fans. Tyler Pitlick is the next guy we'll talk about. He was traded, and it was actually picked to the Seattle Kraken, and then Calgary made a deal the next day, sending a fourth-round pick in 2022 to the Seattle Kraken for him. Right-handed center who has been playing some wing and has played on the wing in the short time. He's injured right now. Played in Arizona last year, had 11 points in 38 games, had 20 points in 63 games a year before that in Philly, kind of been moving around lately, has also spent time in Dallas. A bottom six winger adds good depth to that third line, I think. I love his speed, and I think he's going to be a great fit in the third line. I really think this guy is going to be a guy that is going to bring what we thought Josh Levo was going to bring, only this is an upgrade to Josh Levo. I'm excited to see what Tyler Pitlick brings to the game, and we hope we can get him back from injury here before the preseason ends so we can kind of see a little more of what we got. Now, the big guy, Blake Coleman, he was a guy UFA signed this summer, kind of known as one of the big fish out there in the UFA market, and Calgary lands him and gets the Texas boy to head north to Calgary. Success, that's all we can say lately. 2 Stanley Cups in a row, playing with the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course. 31 points, 55 games. Also saw 4 years prior to that in New Jersey. In New Jersey, he played more top line minutes. Had a 36 point season. But that is his biggest. And this is big money for a guy that's put up 36 points. Last year had 14 goals, 17 assists for 31 points in a bottom six role for Tampa Bay. He is going to be slated as a top six winger for the Flames. And my question there is, and I don't doubt that he's not talented enough to do this, he's just not been in that role since back in New Jersey. Can he thrive and succeed in that role? I thought it was a lot of money. I know it takes a lot of money to get some guys to lure them up into Canada. I don't know, but can he handle the pressure of the dollars he's making now and handle the top line minutes, but not just the minutes, but the responsibility? This guy will day in and day out give you everything he's got. I'm not questioning that at all, but it's not always the easiest thing in the National Hockey League to transition from that bottom six role player into a top six, have to produce offensive talent. Now, how Blake Coleman goes this year is going to dictate a lot of how this team goes this year. And I sure hope that he has a good year. Final guy we'll talk about is Trevor Lewis, a right wing, won some Stanley Cups with Daryl Sutter in L.A., had a long, long stint there. played last year in Winnipeg, had 10 points in 56 games. 6 foot, 200 pounds. He's 34 years old. This guy is going to be a dependable two-way forward. And this guy was also brought in for that fourth line depth. I don't mind having him on our team. He's going to be able to fill that bottom six, give us a veteran presence back there. And most of all, he's been described as kind of that player coach teaching the Sutter way in the locker room. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Now, did Sutter maybe bring in just one too many of these veteran guys? Probably. But I don't know. This is one that I probably am for Richardson. Probably not. Camp opened on the 23rd of September. Right away, Sutter grouped them into three different groups. Group one was just all like junior players for the most part. Group two was all veterans for the most part. Pretty much what we're going to see come opening night. Group three was that AHL, couple veteran, marginal veterans, and where we're going to, you know, kind of the in the middle guys. I know some guys have been cut since then, and I don't need to run through them because a lot of them are who you think. But the fact is, there's a lot of new faces in Calgary, and I don't know that that's a bad thing. I'm not going to lie, I expected a bigger fish to land here, but I also am smart enough to know, and I'm not one of the guys that spent weeks upon end typing Facebook posts denouncing how horrible Brad Treliving is. I don't always agree with his decisions, but I agree with most of them. And I do know this, that to make a big move, you need a partner to do the big move. And with the cap the way it is, and with, you know, front line, you know, top end centers at a premium, and I mean, it's not easy to make deals happen. And it's sure as hell not easy to make deals happen that benefit you. So before we crucify Treliving, let's see how this works. Now, I'll be the first to admit, if this doesn't work this year and this team doesn't make the playoffs, Brad Treliving is probably gone. Not even probably. He is gone. We'll see. I hope that doesn't happen. I really don't. I like him, and I want to see this work. We've won a lot of years where we've been on the cusp. It's time to get over the hump this year. All right, Flames fans, back again for section two of the show. And this episode, we are going to talk about question marks. When I sat down and planned this first episode of season three, I thought, what do I talk about? And the biggest thing I talk about is, like, I don't even know what to talk about because there are so many question marks. Like, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with this? And so much of it is going to dictate how this season goes and how the next 5 years goes in Calgary. And I narrowed it down to basically three questions. And the first question is this. Will Matthew Tkachuk have a bounce back year? Since that puck flip, early on last season against Toronto, he was a different man. The response the team gave to it, and what we've heard rumors of, none of us know for sure. We've heard rumors. It was awful that Matthew Tkachuk had to go through that, and I would love to know what Flames players did that and didn't want that emotion and didn't want that fire. And you know what? I hardly ever criticize Mark Giordano, but as a captain, he should have stood up and fixed that. He should have fixed that problem in the room. He should have made sure that the motion was at a peak like Tkachuk. Does Tkachuk step over the line once in a while? Yeah, he does. But Tkachuk plays the best when he's on the line. We had so much last year where Matthew Tkachuk towed the rope and was not, you know, playing on the edge. And a Matthew Tkachuk that's not on the edge sucks. He was awful the middle part of the season last year. He got off to a roaring start. I believe he had 5 points in his first four games, I believe. The puck flipped happens, went cold. Now at the end of the year, he and Gaudreau actually teamed up for some decent points at the latter part of the year. But I mean, this was not a Matthew Tkachuk year. 56 games, he had 43 points, 55 penalty minutes. Now, the year before, in the 69-game season, he had 61 points, 74 penalty minutes. And the year before that, he had 77 points in 80 games. Almost a point-a-game guy. And last year, he just falls off. And, yeah, people will say, well, he was almost a point a game. He was 43 and 56. Well, he had 16 goals last year. That's it. And most of them came piggybacked at the front end and the back end. And he was a no-show in the middle. I don't know what happened in that locker room, but something happened, and it wasn't good. And here's the worst part of this whole thing is, Matthew Tkachuk is an RFA at the end of the year with a qualifying offer of $9 million. So if this guy stays, it's going to be at $9 million plus. Can we justify that? God, I hope this year he is successful so that we can justify that. I want Matthew Tkachuk to be part of this team. I love his emotion. I love his fire. And I think he's a really talented player. And I know a ton of teams would love to have their hands on him. But number one, if he's not going to re-sign here, it's time to move him now while we can and get something for him. And I know that sounds crazy. I mean, ideal situation, he bounces back this year. We don't have any problem giving him a big contract. And we lock this guy up long term, and he maybe falls in and becomes a captain. But the rest of the locker room has got to be on Matthew Tkachuk's side, or this doesn't work. He's got to pitch in this year offensively on a consistent basis and play with a consistent amount of emotion all year. And you know what will help that? Fans in the Saddle Dome. Matthew's one of those guys. He loves this game, and he feeds off that emotion. If anybody's going to bounce back this year, Matthew Tkachuk's the guy I think can. And you know what? It would answer so many questions if he would. Question number two. What will happen with Johnny Gaudreau? And everybody's on listening right now is like, oh man, here we go again. Brad's going to rip on Johnny Gaudreau. Well, I'm not. I have to swallow some pride. Johnny Gaudreau had a decent year last year. 49 points, 56 games, 19 goals. And even in the playoffs, he had 7 points in 10 games, 4 goals, 3 assists. I still question him a little bit. I feel like he floats a little bit out there. And I don't want to say lack of effort, but lack of a little bit of grit. Now, I know he's 5 foot, 5'9", 165 pounds. He's not going to go out there and be a spark plug. I get it. I got to get it thumped through my head, and I got to take it easy on Johnny Hockey. But I'm deathly afraid. This guy's a UFA at the end of the year. Now, he says he wants to stay in Calgary, and who am I to call him a liar? But I do know he has a lot of deep, deep ties back to the East Coast, Boston, New Jersey area. And I worry. If this guy doesn't have the year that we can justify a contract, or he doesn't want to play in Calgary and has just been saying the politically correct things to the market, we're going to lose this guy for nothing. And that scares the hell out of me. We lost Jerome McGinley for basically nothing. And if we do, I'm going to be pissed. Because I think if we didn't have a contract signed, I think a move should have already been done. Either a contract should have been signed last year, you know, at the earliest moment, or move him on. And now I know that I don't think he could have signed until offseason, but if we didn't have an extension set and in place, we could have talked before then. How do you take this risk? How do you take this risk that we lose a top end forward or supposedly a top-end forward who plays like it a lot of nights and doesn't play at all like it some nights. You know, is he going to be able to handle the Sutter way? Now, a lot of people said he did. He actually flourished later in the year with it. And I can't argue that because he did look a lot better in the later year. But Sutter didn't pull punches when he talked about how Johnny played. There was one interview. I can't remember what milestone it was, but Sutter was asked about the Gaudreau milestone, and he says, well, I hope he plays better tomorrow night than he did tonight. It's honesty that Gaudreau hasn't really seen in Calgary. And although it maybe sucks to hear that, he probably needed to hear that, and he played better hockey after that. He did. But what happens? Can we justify giving this guy more than 6.75 that he makes now? I don't know. If we give him 9, we're overpricing him. If we give him 7, I don't know. Are we happy with that? If it's long-term, maybe I'm happy with it. I don't know how this guy justifies a bigger pay raise. He's probably playing and producing at the level he should be at. What would his salary look like? I'm thinking 8.25. My biggest question is this. Prior to last year's Stanley Cup playoffs, which he had a lot of points last year, but wasn't really effective. Like, this guy's been a freaking no-show in the playoffs. He was a no-show against Dallas. Had an assist that series. Had 2 assists against Colorado the year before. This guy is a no-show in the playoffs. He had 1 good playoffs, 14-15. Guess what? He was a rookie. Had to do it, or he knew his ass wouldn't be on the team next year. He'll see a little more fire in Johnny Gaudreau. Scares me because I know his ties out east are strong with Philly, New Jersey, Boston. He can walk to any one of those teams. All 3 of them will sign him next year. Be happy to have him. And we're sitting with nothing. He's got a modified no-trade clause that went into effect, I believe, in July. Then now he can only be traded to 5 teams. Well, now our ask goes down because he can only go to 5 teams. Those 5 teams know they have the leverage now. So we're not going to get, for Johnny Gaudreau, what we should. And if we don't sign him, then we lose him for nothing. Yeah, it's a scary situation. It's really a scary situation. Now, I'm not saying I don't want to sign Johnny. I'm just saying I don't want to lose him for nothing. He's saying he wants to stay in Calgary. And, you know, some of the Calgary guys are saying that they believe that. And then there's other Calgary, the guys that say that I don't believe that at all. I'm a little bit worried about it. Is Johnny Hockey the guy that just gets you to the playoff? Or is he this guy that's going to be able to really step it up this year and get us to a contender in the playoffs? Another big question that I have this year is, where will scoring come from? We actually now are in a better shape than the fact that we have 6, what I consider top 6 forwards. But none of them are high potent scorers unless Gaudreau and Monahan get things going or Matthew Tkachuk gets his game back in line. But Tkachuk and Monahan got to regain their touch. Gaudreau needs to have a solid year, and Dubé and Mangiapane need to progress at the rate they're progressing. And then, hey, we're back good. The year that Calgary freaking rock and rolled and won the Western Conference, everybody had career years. Well, we followed that up by 2 years later missing the playoffs, and everybody had almost all-time low years. Now, not everybody's going to bounce back and have a career year, and we're not going to win the Western Conference. But we need to have bounce-back years from some guys and progression years from Dubé and Mangiapane. We also need to find out if Lindholm's a number one center. You know, is he a top-end number one center in the league? Hell no. Can he be a solid number one center? I think so. I like Lindholm. He's usually the guy that when you put him with other guys, he's the savior on that line. Another big question we talked about earlier in the show, can Coleman produce in top minute situations with a little bit more pressure than he was feeling in Tampa Bay? Some guys handle that pressure amazingly well. And some guys handle that pressure amazingly bad. We need Blake Coleman to get off to a good start. And if we can get Monahan healthy this year, keep him healthy, and have him be a force in front of the net in the slot, things may not be so bad in Calgary. You know, I've had so many people tell me, well, they don't look good on paper. I don't know. I had 3 or 4 years where I thought we looked awesome on paper. Matter of fact, I went out and said, we're the best team defensively on paper in the league. Well, how did that turn out for us? Not too damn good. So maybe, just maybe, that not looking so good on paper translates, right? All right, Flames fans, it's time to dive into just a little very, very shortened version of Flames news. And let's talk about this. Injuries right away. Let's get that out of the way. It's the bad stuff. We don't want to talk about it, but we have to. Hanifin is recovering from his shoulder surgery in the offseason. Says everything is feeling great and he's good to go. He's not, hasn't played in a preseason game yet and doesn't look to be playing in one here right away, and I think that is just fine. Monahan has also dealt with a myriad of problems last year with injuries. Stated that in game 6 he was injured and really never healed up after that. Had some off-season surgeries. Should be ready to go. Is also going to be like Hanifin, probably not see action till later on in the preseason. Prospect Connor Zeri fractured his ankle blocking a shot during the final prospects game. He looks to be out for a few weeks as his fractured ankle heals up. And we mentioned it earlier in the show. Tyler Pitlick suffered a lower body injury in the first period on Sunday night's preseason matchup against Edmonton. He's day to day. Hopefully that heals up. I'd like to see him get into a little bit more action in the preseason so we know a little bit better where he's going to slot and how he's going to fit in this group. And I have high hopes for him. I know a couple people have told me I'm nuts for that, but I do. I actually have high hopes for him. Matt Stajan, good old Flame. Man, he had some great goals for us in the playoffs. Replaces Joel Otto as Calgary Hitmen assistant coach. And always good to see Stajan getting jobs within the Flames organization. And I'm going to miss him on TV, actually. I kind of like Matt Stajan. He was always good during the period breaks and a fun guy to listen to. All Flames players, coaches, and staff have received the vaccine, so no problems on that front. And we hope that as many Flames fans get into the Saddle Dome as we can and enjoy Flames hockey and watching hockey live. And that noise, the energy, it's so good to have that back. It's amazing. Time for our section of In the Division, and it'll be a very, very abbreviated edition because this we haven't got going yet. So what the hell can I talk about in the division other than a couple of things? In Vancouver, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes still remain unsigned. Heard some rumblings today that things were moving in the direction of them getting signed. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses over the evening tonight and see if anything is announced. Back to the Pacific Division. We're done with that North Division thing. A North Division thing that I thought was going to be amazing. I couldn't wait. I loved it. I was so ready for it. And then about midway through it, I'm like, holy crap. I'm playing Toronto again tonight. And, yeah, couldn't do that. I'm ready to go back the way it was. And the Pacific Division, a little bit different this year. Anaheim Ducks, Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Los Angeles Kings, San Jose Sharks, Seattle Kraken, Vancouver Canucks, Vegas Golden Knights, cracking in. Arizona shifts on over to the Central Division. And yeah, Pacific Division probably going to be the weakest division in the National Hockey League, but we'll see. Maybe we can prove some people wrong. In later episodes, we will get into predictions. 2 episodes from now, we'll get into predictions on how I think the Pacific will go and how I think the Flames will do. So always going to be interesting to see how that pans out. Listener questions. All right. I have a section of this show where we're going to do one of 3 things. Either we have a listener question, we have a Facebook poll, or we have live questions. Well, this is our first live episode, so I didn't expect a whole bunch of people to be tuning in tonight. The time's not normal yet. It's going to take some time for people to be tuning in live, and I understand that, and I respect that. But once we do, I want you to go into the comments section and fire comments at me. I'll answer them on the show, and this is when we'll do that. That'll be interesting and always fun, and I want that fan interaction and that fan input. I think it's important to the show, and I look forward to getting your questions and interacting with you on the show. As well as off the show, you can always tweet at me at FlamesUnfiltered or at Brad Brood. I always love talking Flames hockey. This week, what I did was a Facebook poll. And along with the help of our friends at Flames Hub and Calgary Flames official Facebook fan club. By the way, if you're a Flames fan, you need to get on over and join those groups. Like, why would you not? It's great Flames talk. You get to meet some good Flames fans and it's a lot of fun. Anyways, almost 1,000 responses. Can you believe that? I posed this question a little over a day ago, 1,000 responses. Ah, you love these groups. I asked the question, who should be named captain of the Calgary Flames? And I listed guys, and I'll read them off first, and then I'll give you my results. I put Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev, Milan Lucic, or wait a year and determine it at the end of the season. The answers. The overwhelming favorite from the fans with 426 votes, 43% of the votes, was Matthew Tkachuk. Now, I think Matthew Tkachuk has a potential, and I talked about it earlier in the show. This is going to be a year where this guy can make it or break. He can prove he can take this team by the reins and be a leader, produce, drive this team, and develop and earn the respect of a captain. This one to me is in his hip pocket to take. In second, Michael Backlund with 18%. 182 people said that. Michael Backlund is the longest standing Flame right now. And I think Michael Backlund would be a great captain. I just don't, for some reason, feel like that's who they're going to pick. Probably should be the guy they pick, but I just don't think it's going to be. In third place with 15%, 146 votes, was wait a year. And that's where I was. I voted to wait a year. I think you need to see if, you know, where we go with that. Who steps up? If Tkachuk's the man. In fourth at 10%, Milan Lucic, 103. In fifth, Monahan with 6%. And then Tanev and Gaudreau got 3%, Lindholm 2%. That surprised me a lot because I almost picked Lindholm. I think he has the chance, and I think he has the reins this year just as much as Matthew Tkachuk to step up and be a leader of this team. When it comes to Lucic, who got a lot of fan response, a good listener to the show, Dylan, he put on there that he didn't think Lucic was the right fix because he's not a long-term option. When Lucic's term is gone, I highly doubt he gets re-signed. And we need a long-term captain, and I agree with Dylan completely on that one. Jake put on the comments, no captain this year. It has to be earned. If a player is able to earn respect and lead and control the locker room, then give it to them. Lots of love for Backlund. A lot of people thought Backlund should get it, and I'm not against that. I was thinking wait a year would be the best option. If you forced me and held a gun to my head and made me pick one, I was leaning Lindholm or Backlund. I think Matthew Tkachuk could be a captain, and he probably will be. But this year we need to see what Matthew Tkachuk we have. And it might just be a job that he takes and thrives and does really, really well with. I just think that time right now is probably the best thing that we can do. Thanks for the great response. I love doing these Facebook polls. I can't wait till we get a whole bunch of people on this live show and we can get live comments. Obviously, appreciate everybody listening and tuning in.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Not a lot to preview, Flames fans, as we're still in the preseason. And as much as I get excited for preseason games, not to the extent that I get excited for regular season games. Well, that doesn't get underway for a while. There's 8 preseason games this year. After tonight, we'll be down 3. We got 5 to go. Games before we talk again next week. Friday, October 1st, Vancouver in Calgary. Calgary does hit the road on Saturday night in Seattle. Take on the Kraken again, the opponent tonight. And then on Monday, they're in Edmonton for another battle with the Edmonton Oilers. After we talk next week, we'll be through 6 preseason games, only 2 to go, as we continue to edge closer to that October 16th opening night in Edmonton. And oh, I don't know if that's what the doctor ordered or if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Another thing we're excited this year is, watch parties are back. We struggled with them last year because everything went completely haywire when COVID hit and the schedule changed and everything. Everybody's asking that's new to this show, what the hell is a Hot Mic watch party? What I do is we join up. You download the Hot Mic app. We join up. We watch Calgary Flames fans together as a group. And it is a blast. You can ask me questions during the show. I'll answer them live. We chat. We get to know each other. And you know what? We also win some damn prizes. And so we're going to give away a bunch of different things this year. I'll announce all the prizes on next show. 3 big ones to win this year. And then every week we give away some Flames cards and all kinds of fun things like that. So make sure you check out Flames Unfiltered. Hot Mic shows, and it's fun. It's a free app. It's free to do. It's great interaction amongst fans, and it's a lot of fun. And we hope all of you join us for the Hot Mic watch parties, which will start. The first one is against Pittsburgh on October 28th. So that night, you're gonna make sure you got a cold beverage, a couple beers, maybe some popcorn. We're going to watch that game together and talk Flames hockey. And we're going to talk about the positive things. And you know what? We're going to talk about the negative things too. So, yeah, that's where we're at. So thank you for joining me on episode 1 of season 3. It is our 99th episode of the show. Second year we're doing video. First year we're doing live video. Hopefully over the weeks, we'll gain more and more live listeners and viewers. And, next week, we're back. We are back with another great episode. And on next week's episode, we're going to dig into these preseason games a little bit more, recap them, break down what lines are working, what we've tried in preseason, and where we're probably going to go with our regular season lines. And then how it all fits in preparing for that October 16th game against the Edmonton Oilers. Thank you guys for listening. We truly appreciate it. Check us out on all social medias at Flames Unfiltered. Get on over to Inside Edge Hockey News on YouTube. Subscribe. Always go over to Apple Podcasts. Rate reviews. Your reviews help us out so much. Please do that. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. It'll notify you every single time there's a new show. Boy, is it good to be back talking Flames hockey. That off season. Next year, we're not taking weeks and weeks off. We're going to do a couple shows a month at least during the offseason because it is just too damn long to not talk Flames hockey. Enjoy the game tonight. Seattle Kraken in town for a preseason battle. Have a good night. Thanks, Flames fans. See you next week. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.